Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
Now we're in depth on a fresh way to think about time and money. There's a lot of regret tied up in that phrase. Think about how they've been intertwined in different phases of your life, and then think about how they're connected to your identity as a parent, a daughter or son, a committed employee, a citizen. This is something Ruth Hayden works on with her clients, and we thought it would be an interesting way to launch a new year of conversations about money. So as Ruth joins me, we'd like you to think about this. Is there something you want to have more time for in 2017, but money is an obstacle to that? Or is there something you want to have more money for, but time is getting in the way? For instance, you'd like to invest more money into a child's college fund, but you can't find a way to work more hours to make that money, to make the investment. You see where I'm going with this? So as we talk time and money, something you want to have more time for, money's an obstacle to that. Something you want to have more money for, time's getting in the way. Talk to us about it at 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828. I'm on Twitter at Carrie NPR. Ruth Hayden is a financial educator. You can get lots of information about her books and her classes at ruthhayden.com. She's usually in the studio. We're talking to her today by phone in St. Paul because, Ruth, you're recovering from a cold. Is that right?
A bit under the weather here.
How are you feeling?
I don't do ill well.
So, what does that mean?
That means I don't like being sick. I don't think anybody does, but I'm kind of spoiled because I don't get sick very often. So when I get sick, I get a bad cold, and here I am with a little fever, and I don't enjoy it. I kind of am just self-quarantining myself today.
All right. I hope you're snuggled up there with
a... This is such a fun topic.
It is.
I couldn't let it go. It's such an important topic, Carrie.
Ruth, you say this time money thing is something that couples and individuals are wrestling with often in your conversations in your office. Now, how do they sound? I mean, what does that discussion sound like?
Well, the interesting thing is that, you know, there are three. There's why do I want to do something? What do I want to do? Now, how am I going to do it? The time and money are the how. They're at the top of the chain. And that's where couples, that's where individuals get stuck fussing about how am I going to get more time? How am I going to get more money? And what I teach people to do is to drop down into first the why. Why? You know, what is my life about? How am I going to live my life so that I have regret-free living? You know, the if-onlys. Carrie, I sit in here every day, and people are, well, I always thought I would, and if only I had. And usually the time has passed for whatever that was. Because there are times that, you know, I'm not going to become a ballet dancer at this age, right?
Yeah.
So it's the if-onlys and the why didn't I's, and that's what I'm trying to avoid in here because there's nothing to do about it. At that point, you know, we can find a nice little substitute, but that core, almost a kind of grief, the regrets turn into because I didn't do. They've done studies, actually, that say when you do something and you don't like what you did, you can get over it with time.
Mm-hmm.
But when you didn't do something that you really knew you wanted to do, it's almost impossible to get over it. People 10, 20, 30 years later can say, well, you know, I had the chance and I didn't do it. And so that those studies and that behavioral finance part of my work pushes me to say, yes, we work with time and money, but it has to drop down into why am I doing what I'm doing? Now, out of the why, which I call values, core values, what specifically am I going to do? So the why, the what, and the how. And now how are we going to do it? The difference in a goal between a goal and a, I call it adolescent dreaming,
mm-hmm.
right, is that goals are anchored to time and money, on one end and values, core values, on the other.
Okay.
This is why this is important to me.
And when you say core values, give us an example of what you're thinking of.
Well, core values are kind of the big reasons for being. Core values would be financial security. That's a core value. Now, specifically, what are the goals and how are we going to make money and time work for us? That's another. Family, having a commitment to family, having a commitment to having adventures in life, having a commitment to giving to the greater world. Philanthropy, having a commitment to being at peace within myself and being healthy. Those are core values. They aren't specific. You can hear that they're general.
Right,
you know,
right.
I had a client tell me the other day, I said, you know, so what does 2017 look like? And he said, well, I'm going to be a better person. And, well, as a core value, that's actually okay. It's not going to go anywhere unless we break it down into what specifically
right.
does that mean, you know, what, how is that going to work? But I'm going to be a better person is a setup for regrets at the end of 2017.
It also kind of involves what we're talking about today, Ruth, time and money.
Yes.
I mean, you could blend that in and say, how am I going to spend time? What's my actual path to more time committed to being a better person?
Yes.
Right.
Well, and what does being committed to being a better person mean? Does it mean that I'm going to be healthier, or am I going to give more to the outside world? How do we break that down into specific goals? And now, where in my calendar is it, and where in my budget is it?
All right. We've got some good calls here, Ruth.
Oh,
so
good.
Let's go to the phones to Nicole in Rochester. Hi, Nicole. How did you work this time and money thing out?
Well, and I apologize, I'm getting over a cold. So,
we should be together, Nicole.
Right. Drinking tea somewhere.
Yeah.
So I commute like 2.5 hours a day, and my husband works full time, and we have two young kids. And so we decided that hiring a housekeeper was absolutely worth the money was definitely worth the time savings on our part. We don't have a ton of money, but it was totally worth it to have mm-hmm. that time with my kids that mm-hmm. I can spend just being with them and not have to come home from work and trying to make dinner and get the house picked up, and to just come home and have that and just be peaceful. I felt like my house is peaceful, and it was the best investment we could have made.
Ruth, I was going to say, I love this example.
Perfect.
Because there are core values
yeah.
at the center of this decision.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We don't, because of our work lives, we don't have as much time as we wish we did, but we do have some control over the time we have. You know, the drive, you can't keep your job without that drive, but we do have some control. Where do we have control? And now what are we going to do, and how are we going to pay for it? That was a perfect example, Nicole.
Call here, Ruth, from James in St. Cloud with a question. Hey, James, what do you want to know about this?
Yes, I'm just wondering whether or to what extent a person's feeling of impact that their job has on the world or on some
yep.
aspect of the world, mm-hmm. you know, overlays on all this.
What do you think, Ruth?
That's such a good, you know, that could be a whole show, because, you know, what they've really done so many studies about, people need to feel they have influence in their, this is my left brain language now, in their micro world and in the macro world. They need to feel like it matters that they're there, that there is an impact somewhere. And so for people that are frustrated, you know, first look in your micro world, your small world, and say, you know, where do I have impact? Where do I have influence? And then go out layers and layers out to work. And then in the greater world, people have to feel that what they do, wherever it is in their life, it matters. It really does matter.
So, Ruth, as you're assessing, because we're having this conversation at the beginning of a new year.
Yes.
And you're saying, maybe you're taking James's lead and saying, I'm not making as big of an impact
yeah.
in the world through my job as I want to. Now, how do I bring in this time and money dimension to it and pursue a goal to make a bigger impact?
Well, again, there are people that don't have a choice in how they're earning their money right now.
Right.
You know, that's what Nicole was talking about. So I decided when I was home, I was not going to be cleaning the house. You know, what James is talking about, there might not be a choice in where he works right now, but he can develop. My language is, I call it vocation and avocation. You can call it anything you want. And I name vocation as how you earn your money. And avocation is what you enjoy doing and how it feeds you. This is impact time.
Uh-huh.
And those of us that are really fortunate, it's like two circles that cross over. And so I have clients whose work is just a job. It produces money. And their core values aren't in that job. It's not, you know, a problem. It's just, it's a job. But then in their other world, they make sure that they develop, whether it's nonprofit work, whether it's reading to school kids, whether it's writing a book, whatever it is, where they say, I have impact. I have impact, and this feels so good. So they may have to hold a job to be able to pay their bills, at least for now. You know, in here, we take goals to 5, 10, 15, 20 years. You know, so where in that process, if we do this now, could you leave this job? So, and find something more satisfying. But it's really important. James brings up such a good point that it's important that we figure out where we're going to have impact. If it can't be at our job, it has to be some other place. The meaning of life. Otherwise, the regrets are there. You know, when you get sick when you're 70, or you get sick when you're 60, or you get sick when you're 80, you say, why didn't I get out of there sooner?
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea, Carrie, how often over the years I've heard that. And then something happens, and it's, why didn't we make this happen sooner? I'm a very firm believer in it's got to work today. We have to make it work. No regrets. How are we going to work if we need the job to make the money? How are we going to make that work with the rest of my life so that I absolutely feel like it is valuable and I have influence? By the way, in the retirement studies, Carrie, that's one of the things that people don't take into account when they're going to retire. They forget about the influence that they have and that they feel in the work world.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And it can't be quantified, so they forget about it.
Ruth, let me remind listeners here what we're talking about today. If you've just tuned in, Ruth Hayden is with us this morning, and we're having a conversation about time and money. And here's how we're framing it. Ruth actually hears, as you can hear, from a lot of individuals and couples in her office, you know, working on their financial life, who feel like if we'd only known then what we know now, we might have gone ahead and done that. She's all about, you know, trying to get you to a place where there aren't going to be a lot of regrets. And a lot of this is kind of influenced by the idea of time and money. So we're asking you this morning, is there something you want to have more time for in 2017, but money is an obstacle to that? Maybe you've figured out the solution. Great to hear that as well. Is there something you want to have more money for, but time is getting in the way of that, and you're starting to puzzle this out and figure it out? Maybe you've got half a solution, and Ruth can help you get to the full way, or maybe you're kind of in the middle of this and aren't sure how to get there. 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828. On Twitter, at Carrie NPR. And Ruth, I'm hearing from a lot of people on Twitter here who are just kind of saying traveling, downtime, vacation. That's mm-hmm. pretty general, but I do think that's something that immediately comes into your mind when you mm-hmm. think about this essence of time and money. What can you say about that?
Well, and if we can anchor those words in a core value, really having experiences, having adventures, seeing new things, doing new things is a core value. There are some people that doesn't matter to. Having, you know, sitting at Lake Superior and watching the waves, feeling peaceful inside is a core value. I want to be peaceful inside. So what am I going to do? I'm going to sit here at the lake. Now, how am I going to pay for it? And how am I going to, you know, get time to do this? That's the process. So to actually say, I'm going to figure out what the core value is behind my desires, and then I'm going to set specific goals. You know, I have gotten cards and emails from all over the world, which is, you know, I'm finally here, I did it, right? Sometimes they don't sign them when it's not an email. They don't sign the card, and I have to figure out who it is, right? But it's just the adults being ecstatic about having a core, you know, value, and then setting goals, and then making sure time and money, it's in my life planning, and then it happens.
So if someone came into the office, Ruth, and said, really, a core value for my money life and my personal life is to have more of the capability to travel,
mm-hmm.
you'd start to look across the board and say, okay, how do we get you there?
Well,
right?
And how part of my job as a professional is not just to take one core value in isolation,
mm-hmm.
because another core value is I don't want to be homeless when I'm 80. That also has to be here.
Right.
Financial security. So how do we hold all of these and still feel like we're making progress? What else could I, you know, it's like with Nicole, they're putting money out for a house cleaner. That probably wasn't in their original budget. How can we make changes in our life to free up some money, right, so that we can do these things?
Okay. Listen to this, Ruth.
Yep.
Anne in Maplewood called. She says, I want to spend more time freelancing. Mm-hmm. And see, I can hear that because that's I want to be more in control of my schedule.
Right.
I want to work when I want to work, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Take on projects that I think are interesting.
Mm-hmm.
She says, but I don't have the money to pay for childcare.
Yeah.
To make more time for this. So this is a little puzzle. How would you begin?
Well, then you start, it really is a brainstorming, and many times it helps if she has two or three friends and can brainstorm with them and just come up with some crazy ideas and then follow through. It might be that she helps out a friend and they help her out. So
you
they
mean childcare-wise?
Yeah, they each have hours. You know, many, many years ago when I was going to start this business and I was supposed to come to my senses and go finish my CPA, I traded with another mother. So I got two half days and she got two half days.
You were bartering,
me.
You know it?
Huh?
You were kind of bartering.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was. And so I just wanted to see how I would use that time if I had it. And she was trying something too. She quit. She said it's not worth it. And then I decided to do official child care. But that's how it started. So you can barter with somebody else who can do it. There are drop-in centers. You can do this, you know, to try it, to say, how could I make it work? I think it's really important, and this is a whole other show, on if you're going to start your own company, to do your own business, even little, to be able to test it out first and say, is this really what I want? And where are the downsides here?
How much of this, Ruth, is about what kind of the culture perceives as financial milestones? You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
well, I'm constructing my life because everybody has to own their own home.
Yes.
And so I feel like I have to have that. You know what I'm saying? Is
yes, I do.
Not designing your own personal thing, but mm-hmm. kind of responding to what we all think one has to have.
Yes, these markers
right.
that we were socialized in, by this age, I should have. I tell the classes when I start them, I say, all of you looked in the mirror one day and you said, I thought by this age, huh? Well, they first say, how did I start looking? When did I start looking like my dad? Or when
yeah.
did I start looking like my mom? And I thought by this age, I would be doing blah, blah, blah. And then because they don't know how to take that, and part of my job is to help them rather than blame with it, you know, something's the matter with me or something that is the matter with you that I can't do this. Okay, what part of that could we do right now? What part could we do? And, you know, there's always a cost. Anytime you take on something, there's a cost. And how are we going to handle that cost?
Call here, Ruth, from Jalpa in Woodbury. Hey, Jalpa, hi.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi. What are you thinking about on this? Good morning.
So, yeah, good morning. I'll go quick. We have family back in India, which is mainly our parents, myself and my husband. So four elderly parents and two very young kids in the United States. So for ourselves to balance time and money for both ends becomes very critical, and we have to really plan better at the start of the year. And that's what exactly we're doing right now in January, on whether we want to spend the time and the money on our kids, take them out, or spend all that money and go travel back home and get about a week or so, a little time to spend to our families. I mean, elderly parents back in India. And it, sometimes we get carried away that we need to be more present for our kids because they're growing. And then we think that we need to set an example for them that how we take care of our parents. So it becomes very, it's a big job.
Yeah.
So, and all this, yeah, we did sacrifice our December, decided to spend time with all our, with our kids, took them out for a vacation, but now we are out of money, and if one of our parents need our attention, then we'll be it will be very critical for us to make that decision to travel.
Boy, this is a good one, a really good puzzle.
You know, what's interesting is both of these are good. I mean, both choices are fabulous. They both have an upside. One of the things I believe that to make a decision, decision-making has to be get very clear about what the upside is of each of these and get very clear what the downside is. It's called opportunity cost. And what are we going to do to manage the downside? Also, not to get stuck in kind of an either-or. Is there any way to get into kind of a gray area here or alternate years or people that get into either we do this or we do that and both of them have a terrible downside? You know, and that means that there's fear there and it becomes too arbitrary. So to try to loosen it up a little bit and get more creative and say, what are some other ways to look at this? When people feel stuck, and like no matter what decision they make, there's going to be a problem. They don't get stay as creative about their life. And honest to goodness, that's where the regrets come in.
You know, Jalpa, I can imagine this being kind of an emotional conversation, too, because it's my parents won't, you know, and I'm going through this, too. My parents won't be around forever.
Yep. Exactly.
And but this is a time to really start to invest in spending as much time as we can with them. And yet, right?
Right. And the way I compare that the parents won't be always there for us for a longer time, the same thing is with the childhood. You know,
right.
Our kids are going to grow fast, too.
Exactly.
They're going to be little that long.
We've been experimenting the alternate years, and sometimes just one of us travels, and so that helps, too. We just do alternate. One of me or my husband just travel back home, and but I don't know. We're still experimenting, so we'll see how it goes.
It's really hard, and to use Skype and Facebook, the time, you know, so you can do pictures of all of them. Do you talk with your parents on the, you know, on Skype or something?
We do that. We do that very often, and
so
we don't
they can
wait
watch
for
the
a
children.
Day.
Excuse me. So they can watch the children growing.
Yes. Yes, they do. But you know, it's different for them because.
Okay, I think we might have lost Jalpa, but Ruth, I think you gave some good advice on that. Well, I like your idea of the gray areas here, not either or.
Well, and if it's either or, usually there's fear and we're going to choose wrong. And we have to get out of that and really start to brainstorm on how would we do this differently. That, you know, it's why, what, and how. How would we do this differently? Where could we get a little movement in here? I've had people that have downsized on their homes so that they have more flexibility to do traveling because the traveling has more of a serious impact, like with her. You know, and they want to have more flexibility. People have to be willing to look at all the possibilities and not just feel stuck, because if they feel stuck, it's a setup for regrets.
Ruth, I used an example when we first started about you want to invest. This is a core principle. You want to invest more money into a child's college fund.
Right.
But at the moment, you're looking around and saying, I don't know where that money comes from, and I don't really have the time to go out and get a second job, you know, to come up with that money. How would you begin to because I think that's a really important investment that a lot of parents would want to be able to make. So How would you begin to work through that?
Well, and you know the core principle is parents have to take care of their own retirement
first. Yes.
So once that is moving along, then it's where could we get some more money? You know, do we have any relatives that are interested in putting money into a 529 as gifts for birthdays and things? How could we get some money into a college vehicle so that we feel like we've done something? And then you look at your life. There are, how do I put this without people thinking that they're doing something wrong? There are a lot of things in our daily, monthly life. When my clients actually start going through them, they have choices, and they do come up with some money. This isn't as important as we thought it was going to be. I think we could get rid of that. And then they try it, and if they decide they can't, they take it on again. But there are things that can be done to free up some money. It doesn't need to be tons of money. It needs to start slowly and carefully, and let's just start putting money in, dollar cost averaging, into college funds.
Ruth Hayden is with us, and we're talking about the idea of time and money. As you know, she's a financial educator with us today from St. Paul because she's got a bit of a cold. So taking your calls and your questions and your thoughts on something you want to have more time for in 2017, but money is an obstacle to that. Or maybe you have the money, it's getting the time to actually spend, to pursue, to fulfill some of these core values of yours. How does that work for you? Are you puzzling over something like that in your own life? 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828. On Twitter, at Carrie NPR, where Colleen says money would help. Sometimes the time's just not right. Then when it works, happens. We wish we'd done it sooner. Are you in a situation like that? You can tweet me at Carrie NPR. A look at the latest news and then back to your calls and your questions. And Mike, what are you leading with this hour?
Well, Carrie, U.S. intelligence officials say Russia poses a major threat to U.S. government, military, diplomatic, and commercial operations, as well as to America's critical infrastructure. National Intelligence Director James Clapper and other intelligence officials are testifying at a Senate Armed Services Committee hearing focused on Russia's meddling in the U.S. presidential election. They say Russia is among at least 30 nations that are developing capabilities to launch cyber attacks. President-elect Donald Trump has expressed skepticism that Russia was behind the election hacking. Turkey's deputy prime minister says authorities are getting closer to catching the gunman who killed 39 people at an Istanbul nightclub. He tells a Turkish news channel that authorities believe the man is still inside Turkey, although they have not completely ruled out the possibility that he may have escaped. The Coast Guard says four people have been rescued off an oil platform that's on fire in the Gulf of Mexico. The fire was reported overnight on a platform about 80 miles south of Grand Isle, Louisiana. No one has been reported injured. And stocks are mostly lower on Wall Street after several retailers reported weak holiday sales and cut their profit forecasts. Kohl's plunged 18% in early trading today, and Macy's dropped 14%. Both reported weak sales during the holiday season. Macy's said it would cut 10,000 jobs and close dozens of stores, including the one in downtown Minneapolis. 6 below 0 right now here in the Twin Cities with a wind chill of minus 24. More news ahead on Minnesota Public Radio News. It's 9:35.
Hi, it's Maria Hinojosa from Latino USA, the NPR program heard right here each week. We all love great stories, whether it's a book or a movie or, yeah, on a radio show. And great stories are what we pride ourselves in delivering to you each week. Stories from the heart, stories that make you think, help inspire you, and maybe even get you a little angry. So if you haven't tuned in lately, I invite you to stop by. Thanks for listening.
What are a lot of us listening to on the podcast? The biggest book show of 2016, the launch of our criminal justice series, a show on private prisons. And I've heard from so many of you on the bipolar disorder show we did yesterday morning at 9 a.m., thank you for the tweets. Thank you for the emails. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to the show, it's right there on the podcast. Just search NPR News with Carrie Miller on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Programming supported by Villa Bellezza Winery in Pepin, Wisconsin, Winemaker Challenge International's 2015 Midwest Winery of the Year, where visitors can taste wines made from local grapes in Italian-inspired surroundings. Information and directions at villabellezza.com.
Back to the conversation now. Ruth Hayden with us, our financial educator, and we're taking kind of a philosophical look and a practical look about time and money. And I want to take a call here, Ruth, from Caroline in Cannon Falls. Caroline, I think you have a good question here. What are you thinking about?
Well, as a person gets older, they realize they've accumulated, in some cases, way too much stuff. How do you go about evaluating how much time and how much money in comparison maybe to what stuff's worth even? I don't know. How much time and how much money to get rid of this stuff?
To simplify, right, your life a bit. What do you think, Ruth?
Well, there have been a lot of books written, you know, that if you haven't used something in a year, get rid of it. And then the question is, do we bring it to a nonprofit and just take a deduction? Do we sell it at a garage sale or on eBay or at a consignment shop? I would sort out the things that have some value where you actually could make some money, and then look at the things that don't have as much value. But you understand, Carolyn, that taking the stuff out of your house is I call it another form of debt reduction, that people that have too much stuff are stuck in the past. Their house looks like they're stuck in the past. And when they start getting rid of stuff, they actually get more creative. They actually start to say, now what could I do? Now what else could I do? But, you know, debt reduction can be with stuff. Debt reduction can be with money. Deferred maintenance on the house is a form of debt. How do we move forward and not be stuck in the past with stuff? And so when you get rid of the stuff, it isn't just about what am I going to do with it and how much money can I make. It's also the symbol that I'm going to get into present day and I'm only going to have in the house what is relevant to me today. It really does change people.
Ruth, here's a different spin on Carolyn's question.
Yeah.
There are some people who end up with more money than time left in their lives, right? They're maybe
right.
in their 70s or 80s.
Mm-hmm.
How do you start to shift this equation that you're talking about when you're in that place?
Well, if you have been practicing, is this in balance, then, you know, I believe that life is a series of stages, Carrie. And the people who have the least regrets about their lives, I believe, are clear what stage they're in. So most people are trying to hang on to a past stage. That's what stuff in a house is, too.
Uh-huh.
Or they want to get to the next stage, but they're not dealing with this stage.
Uh-huh.
And if you deal with each stage with what it is, and stages usually last somewhere between 3 years and 6 or 7 years, right? If you deal with this stage, you are preparing because you're doing it in stages moving forward. You can prepare because there are times, you know, when you're younger and trying to get started, you have no money and no time or anything.
right?
And then there are times for some people, but, you know, people 70 and 80, a lot of them don't have money. That's why they're in retail stores and clerking and things, because they're trying to pay their mortgage, which wasn't what they thought was going to happen. So they're disappointed because this is not the way the stage would have been. If you practice stages and say, what is this stage? What is important about it? What are my values that I want to make sure when I'm done with this stage, I move to the next one? Then you've already practiced it, because over time, sometimes you have more money, sometimes you have more time, sometimes you have neither, sometimes, you know. I also believe, by the way, that time and money are spent with the same belief system. People that never have enough time usually don't have enough money either.
No, that's pretty interesting. Huh.
Even when the money changes.
Yeah.
And other people look and say, I think you have plenty of money. They feel like they don't.
Right. And it's something else, you're saying.
Yes, it is.
Something more, what, psychological,
I
philosophical?
Call it a belief. The definition of a belief is it's an emotional conclusion that feels like truth. So some listeners right now love winter. I just love winter. And some, that's a belief. And some can't stand it and can't wait for it to be over. That's a belief. Winter is the same no matter what, but our emotional response is different.
Ruth, a call here from Nicole in St. Paul. Hi, Nicole.
Good morning.
Hi. So how does this work for you in your life?
In my life, it's very complicated. My husband has some serious medical issues. So to pay the bills, I work all the time. I actually work three jobs.
Wow.
Because he can't anymore. But then, because I'm working, I don't get to see him as much.
Right.
And we know the time is precious. So it's kind of a cyclical loop for us. That it never feels like it's going to get better.
Isn't it amazing what people deal with, Carrie?
I know.
It is just amazing.
And inspiring, I have to say.
Yeah. You know, so you're looking for things, Nicole, that are incremental. You know, pulling some time and making it precious between the two of you. Making sure that there are no other support systems that could help you a bit with the money. Anything to make it just a little easier. But it's amazing to me the challenges that people have.
Nicole, I'll bet there's times when you think, you know, like on a weekend or something, you want to be spending time with your husband, but you're thinking that's 4 hours I could have been spending earning. You know, just that constant clock ticking in your head. Do you have that?
All the time.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's disappointing because, you know, like he says, like we see each other when I get up and we see each other when I come home and he spends more time with me while I'm asleep. But, you know, it's a tough balancing act. And, you know, when resources are stretched, then it's what I have to do because, you know, I want him to have quality and the treatments give him that quality because if he's sick, he's not having, you know, quality of life. So it's that balancing act. So there's always, I just keep telling myself, you know, tomorrow I get to see him again, and that's the important piece.
Well, what you focus on, which is what you're doing, is in the micro world, what do I know for sure? I get to see him again tomorrow morning. And then see if you can hold it when you have 4 hours, if you two just to hang out together and enjoy it and don't be pulled. You know, one of the challenges with the female brain is that we can multitask. You know, I work with women who have their own businesses on trying to keep focused. What am I right now? Oh, yes, I'm spending time with him. That's what I'm doing right now. And it really, and men are learning how to do a little more multitasking. Men stay in one part of their brain easier. So it's about how do we manage our perception and how we use the time we have given really difficult circumstances. It's difficult. Good job, though, Nicole.
Call here Ruth from Alex in Minneapolis. Hi, Alex.
Hi. So listening to the conversation, I just wanted to add, I'm part of a ceiling co-op, and so it allows me to share the costs with multiple people of sailboats and maintenance and things.
That's so smart, because that can be expensive. That's an expensive sport and hobby, isn't it?
It is. But just wanted to share that because I think so many people think that they have to go it all themselves.
Right.
By doing that, you get to meet new people, you get to share the experience, and you get to share the burden.
I like the idea of that, Ruth, because barriers to, you know, some, I want to play tennis, but I can't afford, or golf, and I can't afford the, you know, the cost of the clubs or the equipment or something like that, or... You know, I'd love to ride horses more. I think Kathy Werzer did this for a while. So I want to share the ownership and the upkeep of a horse with some other people.
Mm-hmm. Right? All you have to do is to make sure you're very, very clear in writing on the ownership and the responsibilities. And it sounds like Alex knows that. But that's where the issues come in, when people aren't clear. But if you could be clear in writing on who's going to do what, How are we going to share it? How are we going to take care of it? And then it's wonderful because most people in this day and age, now we're back to time, don't have the time to fully take care of something anyway. It really is quite wonderful.
Ruth, so here's a question I think comes up when we talk about what kids observe about the way parents operate on their money values, right?
Yeah.
So say something about how families can communicate core values that kids will see their parents, you know, following, but also hear their parents talking about.
Mm-hmm. One of the things, I don't know how people raise children. We have four. Without the children being part of the understanding of the core values, because they drive, the core values drive so much of the schedule and so much of the spending. And so for the children, from little on up, to be aware of this is a core value for us, this is why we do it. I remember telling my kids, when you have your own house, you can decide what's important and where you're going to put, but, you know, this is, the parents are in charge here. And so, yes, we're going to spend this money on it. Education was one of our core values, learning and growing. So we spent a lot of money on that. And that was more important than other things. So it was I don't know how people parent without having an agreement on 2, 3, 4 core values.
Well, so Ruth, let me just take your example. So when you say education was a top priority and it was
learning
a value in your family.
Learning and growth is a value. Learning and growth is a value.
So if your kids were like, why don't we have a cabin up on the lake like my friends do, how might you talk about that within the family?
Well, two things. One is we're not going to put out that kind of time and money for one thing.
Uh-huh.
And let's get up on the lake. Let's find one that we can rent and play around and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it has to be an and. It can't be either or.
Okay.
But you're not going to swing, you know, especially now with technology and the cost of things. A lot of parents really feel stuck because their children should have what other children have. And it really is about saying these are our core values. You see it, when I go give a speech and it's about this whole thing about money, time, and values, I say to the group, if I had a big white screen right here, and on that white screen we had your latest bank statement and your latest Visa card,
uh-huh,
what would we say your values are?
Yeah.
And you know, invariably, every time, they kind of duck.
Yeah.
Because they somehow think I'm going to do this. The biggest, I think one of the biggest stressors is that people aren't living their lives based upon their values. They think it's going to start tomorrow. And so they're embarrassed by how they're spending time and money, but they don't know how to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very stressful, is that kind of confusion, that integrity confusion. So I would encourage people to say, what's one, just one thing we could do that would make us more congruent with who we say we are and how we're spending our money and time? Does that make sense?
It does, Ruth, and it's a really good conversation to start off 2017 with.
Yes.
I wish you health.
Oh, yes.
And the end of that cold in 2017.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll see you in the studio in
Happy
a couple
Year,
of months,
Carrie.
Right? And to you, Ruth.
And
thanks
to
very much.
And everyone listening.
You can find out more about Ruth Hayden's classes and her books and all the other stuff that she's doing at ruthhayden.com.